Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and aching, who long for the nourishment held in your hands. The done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company held in your hands. The proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the leveling held in your hands. The bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys held in your hands. From corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to greet, to be offered a seat, to be joined to the vine, to be offered new wine, to become like the least, to be found at the feast. Sisters and brothers, here's how to help our God gather us into this space of worship by passing the peace of Christ among you. Peace be with you all. Friends, welcome to the worship of God at Old South Church in Boston. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and here's what that means. It means you are welcome here if you are gay, or if you are straight, or if you are somewhere in between. If you are male, or if you are female, or if you are somewhere in between, if you are single, or married, or divorced, or partnered, because this is a place where we believe that every one of you is made in God's image and is part of God's family. It means you are welcome here if you are old or young or somewhere in between, if you are smart or silly or somewhere in between, if you are full of faith or if you are full of doubt or somewhere in between, because this is a place where we are all learning together how to be God's people in this world. It means that you are welcome here if you are rich or poor or somewhere in between, if you are strong or if you are weak, or somewhere in between. If you have perfect pitch or a tin ear, if you have rhythm and grace or two left feet, because this is a place where God's Spirit calls forth gifts from every one of us and uses them to change this world forever. So welcome all of you to Old South Church in Boston. It is so good that you are here. In order to extend that welcome more fully, we need your help. If you're sitting at the aisle end of the pew, it's your job to pick up this. It's the friendship pad. Open it up. Write something down. Some of you aren't doing it. Go ahead. Good. Write something down in it. If you're willing, tell us your name, tell us your address. If you put down enough information to be in touch, we will do that, just to let you know how glad we are that you're here and to welcome you more fully into this community. And if you at least put down your name, then the people sitting next to you will know how to greet you. In your bulletin, you will find a red sheet with this week's announcements on it. There you will see opportunities for mothers and children and young adults. You'll see ways to praise God with your mind and your hands and your feet and your old clothes and your knitting needles. So take a look and find something that intrigues you there. A couple things to highlight. Today at 12:30 in the Guild Rooms, we will have lunch to talk about the Blue Mountain Project, which is a program that Old South supports in Jamaica. So take a look at that. And if you are looking for a way to deepen your connection to Old South, and if you're thinking about what it might mean to make this place your spiritual home, you are in luck, because tomorrow night from 6 to 9 here at the church, there is a connections class where you can do all of those things. So take a look for that as well. Finally, after worship today, we will have fellowship hour outside under the umbrellas. While you're out there, take a good look at the garden. We had 12 people working yesterday to plant new things. It is beautiful, so don't miss it. And whether you are here for the first time or the 101st time, be brave and introduce yourself to somebody new. I promise you will be glad that you did. Friends, with that, it is time to do what God's Spirit has gathered us to do this morning. It's time for worship.
Listen now for the word of God in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. and divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, a crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." And then Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem," he said, "let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
may be seated. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, God of wind and fire, come near now. Oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. The Bible is a talking book. It begins in speech. Not just any speech, efficacious speech, successful speech, words that make things happen. Let there be light. God shouts out into the void, and the lights come on. These aren't just any words. These are words with wings, words with legs, efficacious speech. The Bible is a talking book. The Israelites brought their suffering to speech. So loud was their suffering that God up in heaven could hear it. In bondage to the Egyptians, oppressed and tormented, they cried out to God, who heard their speech and their suffering. And God, speaking to Moses, told Moses in turn to have a chat with Pharaoh. Let my people go. The Bible is a talking book. Ezekiel is in the valley of dry bones. It is grim there, dead there. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, speak to the bones. Bring them to life with speech. And Ezekiel does, and the bones do. The prophets, they are the whiskey of the Bible. They are strong speech, speech that chokes and burns. They rail and rage at the rich whose ease is always on the backs of the poor, and the powerful whose peace and security masks the violence by which it was attained. The psalmist is the one who with words turns our insides out, whose words expose our ache, whose words render our bliss and our praise, whose words make palpable our defeat, our terror, our anger. The psalmist is a wordsmith who turns our insides out. After let there be light and let my people go, Jesus is God's next best word. Jesus is what God has been saying from the beginning, only it was hard for us to hear. Jesus is the Logos, the word on the tongue of God, the word that becomes flesh and lives among us. And Jesus, this word of God, was himself, as it turns out, quite a talker. He talked to fishermen, he talked to women, to Gentiles, to Samaritans, to Pharisees, to lepers, to the lame, to the blind. He healed with words, take up your pallet and walk. He freed with words, your sins are forgiven you. He saved with words, who among you is without sin? You go ahead and cast that first stone. And he conquered death with words, Lazarus, come out! Jesus was a talker. He talked to the tempter in the desert. He talked to the crowds on a hillside. He talked to a storm on a boat. And he talked the storm down. He talked to Moses and Elijah on a high mountain. And don't you want to know what they said? Jesus talked to God from the cross and then from the other side of the grave. He talked to Mary and Peter and Thomas from beyond death. He talked them back to life. Jesus, the word that became flesh, came talking, and our Bible, our holy book, is a talking book. Now the Tower of Babel is the story of the failure of speech. The story of confusion and cacophony, chivalry and pandemonium. The witch trials, that hysteria, Babel. Nazi propaganda, Babel. Separate but equal, Babel. Don't ask, don't tell, Babel. Collateral damage, Babel. Babel is everywhere around us. The so-called newscasters yelling over each other on the nightly news, babblers. Babblers are the shock jocks and the angry, blithering blogs. Babel is ideology and propaganda, cant and misspeak. It is the sound of human hubris, of dissonance and danger. Babel is the sound of the serpent who engages Adam and Eve in a gentle conversation about a piece of fruit. The serpent is the one who promises that this piece of fruit on this tree, this pill, this cosmetic, this lotto ticket, this whatever, will make you wiser, younger, slimmer, richer, stronger. I promise. The story of Pentecost is the answer to the Tower of Babel and to human babble. The triumph of Pentecost is the intelligibility of human speech. It is words that work, efficacious speech, words that communicate, and more than that, words that build, words that bridge. The story tells us that they were all together in one room, these followers of Jesus, all together in one room, and the Spirit comes into them, and they start to speak. And the crowds gather. They're in Jerusalem, a cosmopolitan, worldly city. They're in Jerusalem, and the crowds gather, and they're represented there for people from all over the world. Every nation under heaven, it says. They're from Afghanistan and South Korea, from the Soviet Union and the United States, from Haiti and Uganda. The English are there and the Wampanoag are there, the Peruvian and the Pakistani. And here's what it is that they came to see and hear. Here's what is happening that moment. Every single one of them, the Kenyan and the Syrian, they each heard them speaking in their own native language. They were amazed, astonished, captivated by this feat of understanding. And what is it that they were speaking about? God. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, were talking about God. They were telling about God's deeds of power, and they weren't just telling about them, they were doing it. They were overcoming differences. The one who spoke the world into being at the beginning of time. The one whose best word became fleshed and lived among us. The same one gives birth to the church in the act of speech. But not just any speech. Efficacious speech. Successful speech. Speech that bridges and builds. The kind of speech that communicates. Speech with wings and legs. Speech that heals and saves. Speech that does some good. The church is born in this moment. This is our anniversary, our happy anniversary, birthday of the church day. The church was born in this moment, this act, this instance of understanding. The church was born, we were born to speak intelligibly, to speak successfully. The church was born to counter the hubris and cacophony of Babel with speech that does some good. Justice Samuel Sewall, member of this church, his apology for having condemned some of the so-called witches to death, that was Pentecostal speech, and it grew out of the church, out of his life with God. Desmond Tutu's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, that is Pentecostal speech. That came from the church. Godly talk, churchly speech. Today we will confirm 7 young people into this work of speaking for God on this earth. They live in a babbling world. Amelia and Sarah Ann, Willie and Nolan, Daniel and Pierce and Franny, they live in a world filled with babbling misspeak, with cant and propaganda. They live in a cacophonous world populated with smooth-tongued and not-so-smooth-tongued tempters. Years ago, their parents brought them to church for Christian baptism. Holding them in their arms, their parents spoke for them that day, vowed on behalf of their children that they would grow up to learn the difference between Babel and Pentecost, between Babel and Pentecost, between truth and trickery, between the ways of the world and the ways of God. Today they have come here into this house of God to speak for themselves. They have come to claim their place as those called and trained to efficacious speech, humble speech that asks questions and probes for insight, speech that points to God, speech that does some good in this world, speech that brings the dead to life, speech that brings dreams into our world of nightmares. So, Pierce, Willie, Daniel, Nolan, Sarah Ann, Franny, Amelia, welcome to this godly, churchly work where we are called to speak on God's behalf godly words in a sometimes ungodly world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. God of wind and God of fire, God of young men who see visions and God of old women who dream dreams.
You have given us your spirit of love and life and grace, and what can we say but thank you? Over and over and over again, thank you for love and life and grace. Thank you for your presence that is always with us, before us and behind us and over us and under us and just around the corner. You are always there. You are always with us. You never let us go. And so we have confidence to lift up prayers for everyone and everything and every creature of the sea that will be affected by this oil gushing in the Gulf of Mexico. For the mothers of those three hikers held in Iran, who were finally allowed to visit their children and then left empty-handed. For the Swiss and British scientists who found a non-invasive way to look inside the life and the work of the honeybee because they are in decline. For Spain and for Greece, for everyone anxious over this economic climate, for those who suffered violence this week in Afghanistan and Pakistan, for the people who lost their lives on that mountain in India, for their families who are crying and pulling out their hair with grief, for the people who came into this place just to be next to you, for the prayers that they left in our keeping, for the sick and the suffering, for the newly diagnosed, and those who are fighting the good fight to survive, for the addicted and those in recovery, for the forgiven and for the one who is struggling to forgive. For the mother praying for her children and for the woman praying to get pregnant. For Anne, Tatjana, Dieter, George, Dorothy, Larry, Dwayne. For Barbara and Arnita, Janet and Fritz, Doris and Carolyn, Colleen, Ruth, Nicole, John, Colette. For Molly, our beloved colleague and sister in Christ. For all the young people to be confirmed today. May they be filled with words that will change this world. God, send down your spirit to answer these prayers one by one. Keep watch with those who work or watch or weep this day, and give your angels charge over those who will fall asleep tonight. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous, and do it all for your love, for your word made flesh. We ask these prayers. We lift up all our burdens and all our joys and all our thanksgiving in Jesus' name, who taught us how to pray. He said, "Pray like this," and so we do. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear now this reading from the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possession. But everything they owned was held in common, and there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and it was distributed to each according to their need. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Spirit is with us, and so now the morning offering will now be given and received.
Thank you. I invite forward at this time those who by prayer and study and discernment have come to affirm their faith. Please gather in the chancel on the left, on the alley side of the pulpit. Confirmands, would you come forward, please? I also invite forward the confirmation class teachers and the most important teachers of all, the parents of the confirmands, to come forward. Please gather in the chancel on the right side of the pulpit, on the Boylston side. Passing on the Christian faith to each new generation is an immense task. Next to worshiping God, it is the most critical task we undertake in the life of the church. The Christian life is a journey. The young people before you today have come to a significant point in their journeys of faith. They have come before us this morning to publicly affirm the Christian faith into which they were baptized. This class of confirmands has had an extraordinary group of leaders and guides for their journey. To our confirmation class teachers, Phil Stern, Russ and Marcia Gregg, Elizabeth England, Pam Holland, Mercedes Rodeo, and Rolanda Ward, thank you.
And to the parents of our confirmation class, you who teach your children day in and day out, Rock Ripple and David Becker, Seda Dartley, Marcia and Russ Gregg, Mercedes Rodeo and Jeff Macomb, Pam and Ian Holland, Pam Roberts and Scott McInturf, Tricia Hazeltine and Weldon Palmer, we give God thanks for you and for the teaching that you do every day. I invite the congregation now to join our confirmation class teachers in the litany of intent as printed in your bulletins.
Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism.
When these are baptized, we promise to include them in the life and ministry of this congregation, and so
having grown and learned and prayed with us, they have now signaled their willingness to be confirmed as adults in the church.
They have been led by the Spirit to confirm their baptism and declaring in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of the Christian Church.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. God help us.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God help us.
Friends who are being confirmed, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place.
We give thanks.
Celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Do you desire to affirm the Christian faith into which you were baptized?
I do. Members and friends of Oak South Church, will you give your support to these young people, uphold them, and encourage them in faith whenever possible, and keep them in your prayers?
We will.
Dear friends, we then welcome you as partners in the common life of this church. Let the whole church rise to share our covenant of mission with you.
God, in whose love I am grounded, and in whose realm I serve, through Jesus Christ, God incarnate,
As we sing the first two verses of the hymn, I want to invite you confirmands to come on down and line up down the center aisle, and you parents to go down there with them. You want to be as close to your kid as you can. So head out now, follow Nancy, she'll lead you. And let us join in singing. In the book of Acts, we learn how, after new converts to the faith were baptized, the converts received the Holy Spirit when the ones who had converted them laid their hands on them. As our confirmands were baptized into that same faith, so by the laying on of hands, they received that same Spirit. Now, in other traditions, the bishop would perform this office. In our tradition, we have no bishops. We have something better. You. So I'd like to invite those of you who can to come into the center aisle and lay your hands on these confirmands. Put your hand on a head or on a shoulder. Come on in. Don't be shy. Get in there. If you can't reach a confirmand, then reach somebody who can reach a confirmand. And if you can't reach someone who can reach a confirmand, reach someone who can reach a confirmand. And if you can't get anywhere close, then just raise your hand in blessing like this. When we baptize a baby up here, we invite our children to come up and put their hands over the water, and we tell them to picture all the love that's in them flowing out through their hands into that water. You do the same now for these confirmands, and maybe picture a little bit of hope and a little bit of courage going out with them as well. May your shoulders bear the yoke of Christ. May your hearts be filled with faith. May your feet follow in the way God has prepared for you. Gracious God, draw near to these ones who have boldly taken this new step in their journeys. Steadily increase their desire to follow you, the courage to question you, and the willingness to learn from you, now and forever. Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of Old South Church in Boston, we joyfully welcome you into the company of this local church.
We invite you all to return to your seats now and remain standing to sing the closing hymn.
May God shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May God give us courage never to sell ourselves short, courage to resist evil, courage to risk something big for something good, courage to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take our minds and think through them. May God take our lips and speak through them. May God take our hearts and set them on fire. And the people said,
the controversy a few years ago. So the big science project, the World Science Project, is still going to be going because the climate is chasing the aliens. And the weapons chasers and some other chasers have double lines with both sides.
Where was